Good morning. Greet you in Christ's name. It's good to be here and share around the word and be encouraged, strengthened, challenged, whatever the case may be. But somehow it should have some kind of effect on our lives as we come together and share in the word, with the word, and apply it to our lives. I've chosen to share with you my Wiener Bible School message. So my message was, or the topic given to me is, study to be quiet. You could take that a couple different ways, I guess. But what I did with it, I decided to go more of a, take an approach to make this a personal challenge rather than a corporate or collective approach, where it speaks to everyone as a whole in worship. I rather take it to the direction of how we relate in our personal lives, quieting our hearts before the Lord. And it challenged my life in how I need to learn how to disconnect from the world's situations around me and get quiet before the Lord. That's what it's all about. And I have 5 points that I want to allude to in this subject. The reason I did that is because none of us really, well, if you go to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, my text is actually coming out of 1 Thessalonians, but in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible speaks to the idea of how you and I need to relate in many ways. But there the Bible says in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And I don't believe anybody could say here this morning that they have lived such a perfect life that they haven't somewhere made mistakes. So the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We need to strive and endeavor to live our lives in a way that will glorify and honor God, but that doesn't mean we won't have some struggles or problems through the experience. But I think sometimes if we can learn, even in public settings or wherever, learn to just stop sometimes and take in rather than take out or put out. Because there's none of us on this side of heaven that lives our lives or who loves in perfection. And let's go to our text now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I know they gave me the verses 11 and 12, but I'd like to incorporate a few more verses looking at verses 8 through 12 for the message. And I'd like to read a little poem or a little quote here. And you probably heard this already before. And when we think about this message of studying to be quiet and get quiet before God and be careful how we speak, it's about the little poem about the wise old owl. And you probably heard it. It goes like this. A wise old owl sat in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. And the less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be more like this old bird? Sometimes we ramble, we talk, and we speak, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, where am I going? And you aren't thinking what you're saying, or you aren't thinking about what you're saying. But I'd like to liken this message somewhat with the idea of how it is. The first point I want to give you right now. Well, let's read first. I better read my text first of all. That's where we want to start. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, by that you increase more and more. And this is where our key text verse is. It says in verse 11, and that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Now, folks, there's something about how you and I relate in our lives to making our lives productive, and yet it says that we lack nothing. And can we work toward a point of where all our needs are met so well that we can just relax, sit back, and we don't really have a need for anything? And it sort of, in verse 11, just following studying to be quiet, it says to do your own business. I don't think that's really meaning how I work and do everything. It says work with your own hands. I know that. But it's actually challenging us in how we think in studying to be quiet before the Lord rather than doing all the things we do and making them complicate things. But I'd like to think about my first point at this time. We just came through the holidays and we had good meals, and I couldn't help but liken this idea. The first point is a warm-up time in progress. That's my first point. When you think about coming before the Lord, God is endeavoring for your spirit to connect with His so that you can receive something that you can take and apply to your life and live your Christian life in more of a better setting, we could say. But we're thinking about studying to be quiet. And when we think about the wise old owl, he learned more by just being quiet and listening than being the caulking owl he would be sitting in the tree. But we all have two ears connected on our heads and we have one mouth. So should we be hearing double of what we speak? I don't know. That's just a thought. But a warm-up time in progress. And here in verse 8, we bear our hearts to God. We need to let God into our heart so he can do that ministering effect of the warning warm-up time in progress. And I was going to the place of this last holiday season here. We enjoyed a lot of good food. I'm sure you did. We're all good cooks and we make good food. But what I want to express here, a warm-up time in progress. You know, the Word of God has been here for generation upon generation, and it's all the same. It's the old story, but there's always something new you can glean from it. And you might have something that you had pretty much learned in a real way. You understood salvation. You know how to live it. But there is always something that comes out to you again, and it's like food, a warm-up, spiritual food. I liken it to, we had some really excellent beef with our Christmas dinner, and we also had what we call dried corn. I don't know if you ever ate dried corn or not. I love dried corn. My wife don't care for it so much, but I love it. And Jeff, my son-in-law, Betty's husband, he knows how to make good dried corn, and he brings dried corn to our Christmas dinner every year. So I always hope that there's quite a bit left so that I can have some later again, because he always gives me some. And in me loving that corn, but then she takes it, and we take it into the house, and this beef and everything else, it's almost a whole repeat for another meal, and she puts it in the fridge, and it gets cold, of course, just preserve it. But she gets it out and we don't eat it cold. We like it warmed up. And she warms his food to a temperature that it's very conducive to good eating. And this corn is so good when it's heated up. I think it almost turns out better than it did from the beginning when we first had it. And did you ever find that a lot of this food is like that? It seems like, I can give you another instance, not just the holiday part, but on New Year's, we eat pork and sauerkraut. And I told you already why you eat pork and sauerkraut. Why you eat pork? Porkers root forward, our hog, He roots forward. A chicken scratches backwards. So you want to eat hog so that you move forward for the new year. No, that's just not the way it is. That's just a thought. But what I'm saying with that is we had pork and sauerkraut, and that we ate it for I don't know how many meals. We had quite a bunch that we could eat, and we ate it over and over. And I said, I believe it's getting better every time. Warm-ups, folks. The Word of God should be getting better to you every time you read it. It might be like a warm-up of physical food, but spiritually, dear people, if you're not receiving something that warms your heart, that ministers to you spiritually, there is something wrong. There is something wrong. A warm-up time in progress. When you sit down to read the Word of God, you need to take it to heart if you want to move forward in your Christian life. I'd like to, just thinking about this warm-up time in progress, here in verse 8, the Bible says, and folks, I believe this is sometimes our problem. It says, he therefore that despiseth, notice that word, despiseth not man, but it says that he's despising God. Do you know what despising means? Despising, by definition, means he will not listen. Folks, are we ready to listen to God when we sit down to study and be quiet? When we want to read the Word of God, receive a good warm-up in progress of what we are looking at and hearing and seeing in the Word. That is the question I leave with us. Do we really find what we want? But that's what the Bible says. It says that they don't despise man, but they're despising God. And he is the one that wrote the word. And I need to take that word and listen intently. I want to receive something that is good. I tell you what, if my wife wouldn't warm the corn up right and warm up the extra beef, it probably wouldn't taste too good. She can eat cold chicken and cold beef, and I can't. I like it hot. I like it rewarmed so that it's good and soft again and pliable. Anyway, thinking about the Word of God, that's the same situation we're running into, is taking the Word at its content and taking the application that I can apply to my personal life. In that sense, we need to take it for what it is. Hide yourself in God with the Word. And when you rise before men, I'm talking about our everyday witness in Christ, unless we are prepared and filled with good food, we cannot work so good. And it applies the same way in spiritual lives. We can hide the food in us, but we can express ourselves with what we have received from the Word and use it to witness for Christ. And what we have, what we hide in ourselves before God, when you rise before men, you speak out of that secret hiding place. You see, God wants to secretly live in your life. And as you portray that word and take it forth in the warm-up in progress, you can share from that word. What an experience we have. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, it talks about the gifts. Now, I know all of us are gifted different, but let's remember that God has an interest still to provide you with the grace you need to make the gift observant to other people so that they know what you are living with. The secret hiding place of God, dear folks, is in your heart. Now, I want to say this morning with all of this, as we study to be quiet, let's be sure that we're ready to leave God accomplish what he will within our hearts and take it seriously. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:31 that we should covet earnestly the gifts of God. Folks, we need to be there. Let's take that challenge as his children in serving him that way. We ought to have a firm determination, which is commendable in a person's life. When you notice people that have a firm determination. Another thing is that we need to be steadfast in our commitment. That is laudable. But folks, when we go to the place of self-confidence, that is deadly to our spiritual condition. It can be a real a drawback in us living our lives in a way that is going to glorify God. If we have self-confidence, we ought to always need to come to the Word with the idea that this Word is everything I need to make me the person that God wants me to be. If I come here and I say, oh, I know already what that says, that don't mean nothing to me. Despises the Word. They will not listen. Got to take that to heart. And I firmly believe that sin is not the worst thing in the world. But the worst thing in heaven and earth is a cold, cold heart. Do you follow me? I can be so involved in doing anything and everything for God. But if my heart is not conditioned with God's warmness in progress and making me the person that loves. You notice what verse 8 says? In verse 9, after we talk about not listening to God's word and letting him minister to us, verse 9 says, but as touching brotherly love. Now, why is that there? Folks, God in being love is the first thing that he promotes and wants to condition in our lives and get us to secretly put it in our hearts and have it there so that yourselves, you are taught of God to love one another. Point number 2, a word from the Lord is spoken. Now let's remember something. God has put the word here. He has given it to us for so many years, time and again. It goes back for so many generations. But a word from the Lord is spoken. God has conditioned his word that the power of the Holy Spirit takes it and conditions it to put it in your life for you here today. God's word is spoken. It will minister to your need. It is a message for me directly from God. In John 21, I'd like to go there just a little bit. The Gospel of John in the last part of that book, where Jesus had challenged Peter, and Peter was quite the guy, you know that. He was quite a forward, mouth first type of person. And he could say he was contradicting the thought about the wise old owl. Peter often got himself in trouble. But I want to tell you something. Good old Peter, he might have had many flaws and many conditions that were not as good as they could have been connected. You know, he jumped out of the boat and wanted to walk to Jesus. And people are often critical at Peter all the time and say, well, what ailed the guy? Why didn't he keep his eyes on Jesus? Well, how many of the other disciples ever even challenged it? They were afraid to try and step on the water. So let's not be too hard on people or Peter. Peter had many flaws in his life, but one of his things that wasn't a flaw, he didn't have a cold heart, folks. I believe he had a desire in his heart and a fire that he wanted to serve God with all his capacity. I know he failed God when the cock crew there, but the point is he was a faithful servant of God to the end. Well, anyway, here the Bible talks about Peter. Jesus challenged him. He said, Simon, do you really love me? And he said, of course I do, Lord. You know that. And he told him over and over, feed my sheep. Peter finally, he says, Lord, you know I love you. I'm putting it in my own words. You know that I love you so much. I want to serve you with all my heart. Well, Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And then Jesus told him, he said, whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Challenging him with the fact that he was going to die to the end for his Lord in his love for service to him. And that's interesting. This morning in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about martyrs unto death. And I don't know, sometimes they call us the quiet in the land. What does that mean? Well, it can be all right to be quiet, but I believe there's a time to speak too. Did you know that quote is in the Bible? I didn't even know it until I read something about the Mennonite faith, the Anabaptists, I want to say, how they were called the quiet in the land too, and yet they died for their faith. But here in Psalm 131. If you go to Psalm 131, verse 2, 1 and 2, actually, it expresses these same words. And I was surprised to see it. I never knew it was in the Bible. And it just challenged me of how I want to be a person that is careful how and when I speak. Psalm 131, the Bible says, "The Lord, my heart is not hardened, mine eyes are not lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child." It's not Psalm 131, 1 and 2. I thought I had it written down right here. I know where it is. Let's go back a few Psalms to 35. That there, what I wanted to bring out there in Psalm 131, it talks about the quiet, being quiet. And there is a time when we need to speak, but there's a time to be quiet too, I believe. Sometimes we get what we say, sometimes with the term of, I get my foot in my mouth. And that can happen so quickly. But look here in verse Psalm 35. Let me get there. Verse 20. "For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land." Interesting, isn't it? You know, a deep-rooted faith is something that you will preserve in the depth of your heart that people cannot take from you. Let's realize that this morning, how God's choice is to live in here to give us the peace and serenity we can with a quiet spirit. So important, so important. A word from the Lord is spoken. Well, remember something else. God's standard never changes. It is still for us today. And it's going to be the same to the end. And the word of the Lord is established in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. We could turn to some of them verses, but we won't for time. But in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, the word of the Lord is established, meaning it's a sure foundation to stand on, and it will stay. The word of the Lord is spoken is our topic here, our point. And it says also in Isaiah 59, 19 to 21, the Bible is there. It speaks about it as being a standard that is established for good. And it will stand strong. And the truth of God's word never fades. Or let's go to 2 Timothy. I'd like to pull some verses out of here quickly. 2 Timothy 3, in chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. The Bible says here, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead silly captive silly women laden with sins." I often looked at that verse and I had to think to myself, what does that all really mean? And I didn't get it studied this time either. But when you look at that verse included with what it's saying here, they are men. And I'd say if you want to take a picture of that, take it from your Sunday school lesson this morning. Herod would be a man that was misled by a silly woman. Herodias took him for what she could gain from it. And she saw her opportunity and she took it and did what she did. But anyway, what I want to really focus on in the end of reading this is in verse 7, where the Bible says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." What I'd like to say with that is this. The words, as the words are standard, God's standard doesn't change. And truth, we know that the word of God is truth, don't we? But you know what? If truth of God's, if the truth of God's word is left go, it will fade into a forgetfulness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. When God wants to minister in here, we think we're going to get it from getting a lot of knowledge. That is not where it's found. Right here is where we need to always ground ourselves in the word of God and make sure it's going to stand fast in our hearts. So we always remember that. And there are four main truths which are mentioned. You can read them sometime. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, where it speaks about what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. I'd like to go to point three. A waiting time promotes patience. A waiting time promotes patience. Now, folks, as you read the word of God, I believe it's very imperative. And listen to me. It's very imperative that what you read, you do take time to meditate on. If you rush through your devotions and your reading of the word of God and you find it not to be a study to be quiet, you just rush through it because you feel obligated to do it, because it's something that's mandatory in your life, but really the desire of really learning what God wants to teach you for the day, you don't really grab it. You need to be sure. I'd rather have someone read one or two verses than 15 or 20 or 30, and you just do it quickly and out the door they go. It would be better for you to read one or two verses, look at it and reread it maybe 10 times, and then sit down and be quiet so God can speak into your heart. Do you follow what I'm saying? If we just go rushing through the word all the time in our humdrum schedules, and I know we're all caught up with it, I have to be careful of it myself, that I don't just read quickly and rush out the door. We need to take time. A waiting time promotes patience. And the Bible talks about tribulations can work patience. Well, sometimes life can be tribulations as a whole. We struggle with keeping time right. A time to be quiet before the Lord, we are known as the quiet in the land. But let's remember something else. Life must be lived forward because we can only be understood backward. We can only live forward because we only understand life backward. What I'm saying with that is that I have no way of knowing what the future holds tomorrow and on. But listen, if I keep my focus at the right place in God's word, and I know that God is already before me out there in the future with my life's plan. But I understand life looking back because I have traveled that. But I have no way to measure future. Okay? And waiting time promotes patience in learning the will of God and saturating it into the secret hiding place of my heart. And that's where God can minister to me. Let's remember those facts. And then my life will be productive for the cause of Christ so that I don't fail in fulfilling the things he wants me to do. Listen, dear people, there is something much worse than failing. Do you know what that is? It is failing to try again. Huh? There's something that's much worse than failing. I made many mistakes. Sometimes you get tired of something and you just discard it. You just quickly want to quit. But the person that would do a greater detriment to themselves is the one that never tries again. If you fail, don't quit. Try again. You might succeed. Waiting is the time for soul making. Waiting is the time for soul mating. And to think about that, or soul making, I'm sorry, you need to remember that God, we live here. And the way we are geared to live is a detriment to our lives sometimes. But God has a purpose he wants to accomplish to the end of our life. Are we pursuing it? Well, a waiting time promotes patience. Point number four. A warning to heed with conviction. And dear people, I say we need to have much deeper convictions in our hearts. Convictions that will drive us with the deepest of a desire to accomplish God's perfect will for our lives. We just have a tendency to kind of water it over and everything's going to pan out in the end somehow. No, that's wrong. At the points we looked at and coming to this one, listen, folks, we are an inexcusable people before God. And we will stand before him someday for what we have done in our lives. And unless, dear people, we live with deep conviction, we know where we're going. We know what we have established in covenant with God in our hearts. That's why men in the scriptures were faithful men of hierarchy in God's sight. But where are we with our convictions? The Supreme Court years ago that determined that the word conviction in definition means a fixed belief. There's a lot of people believe a lot of things, but they don't know what they believe. You need to know what your convictions are, what you stand for and want to live by. Unlived truth, listen, dear people, and I struggle with this one. I don't know where this point came from, but unlived truth hardens a heart. Unlived truth hardens a heart. Do you follow what I'm saying? I think about that a lot. And what it does following that is it breeds contempt. That means I will eventually not believe what I had read. Do you see it that way? Man, unlived truth hardens the heart and breeds contempt. It'll make you a person that eventually will have believed and read some truth that you took to your heart and God gave you a conviction with it. And said, this is how you should live. And for some reason, you never follow up. And you keep not following up. It's going to harden your heart against what you had believed one day. That's hard language. But it's true. That's how it works. And when God convicts us, you know, the Bible says in Genesis 6:3 that God's spirit will not always strive with man. God's spirit will slowly be stifled in our Christian life if we don't keep it alive and well. We need to work at that. And another thought, sometimes things are difficult to process and the trials we go through. But listen, God's discipline is not to ruin us. But God's discipline is to restore us. It is to be embraced when you get through difficult times. You don't always understand what it's about, but mark it down. It's for your good. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'd like to look at verses 16 to 18. Chapter 8, verses 16 to 18. The Bible says here, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see that light. For nothing is secret. Nothing is secret. Mark that word, secret. God knows it all that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. But notice 18, it says, take heed. Meaning heed is a warning in my life, folks. We're thinking about a warning to heed with strong conviction or with conviction. And here it tells us, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Listen, are you hearing this morning? Jesus often said, when he would proclaim a parable or something of strong magnitude that the people needed to grasp a hold of, Jesus would say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know what he was saying? Do you understand? That is Jesus. And Jesus proclaimed his word. It says here, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and to whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. I say that to say this, folks. When I told you that you have read the word, you understand what the Bible says, but for some reason you don't heed to it, and you take your own direction in life, and you follow that principle to the end, you're going to lose every conviction you ever had for that point. It will not stay with you. If we think we can take God's word and just read it, and it's going to make us a different person, it's not. We need to live to what we read. It's so important, because you will eventually harden your heart against it. It sounds hard, but that's what the Bible says. That's where it says there in the Bible, he that despises not man. You're not despising people, but you're despising God himself. What a serious business. Well, what he tells you to do, begin to do in obedience, is always the first step to learning more. And may I suggest this morning, as you understand God, you know God and how he's lived in your life and what he's done for you, how can you not follow him in his great love for you? And what I want to say with that, your Christian life is going to stop in its condition where you're at that point. It will not go any farther. If God is calling you to a certain way of doing something, and you put the brakes on and you say, this is where I'll level out, your Christian experience is not going to go any further. But you know the serious part of it is? It's going to go backward again. That's what will happen. Because when God tells us to do something and we begin to do it in obedience, it is always the first step to learning more. If you expect God just to keep showing you things all the time, mark it down, you're going to lose out. You need to step forward to the plate with conviction, moving on in your Christian experience if you want to learn more about God. Then people say, oh, I don't understand where God is in my life. He just don't talk to me. He doesn't work in my life. Well, of course not. He can't expect us, we can't expect him to lead us and guide us with his spirit and show us direction if we harden our heart toward his thoughts and his heart in what he wants for us. A warning to heed with conviction. Busy in everything, but not much maintenance on myself. How much effort do we dispel on family, on friends, and community? Do you ever drive around and you're doing your little humdrum things in work? And I find myself that way. In the shop, I work there sometimes, and I'm fooling around trying to get something to work or whatever I'm doing. And I stand there and I say, why, this crazy thing, it just isn't working. Then I stop and I look at it and I say, what's the deal? If I'm a Christian and I understand what God wants me to do, why does this little thing become so important in my life? Wow. How much effort do I dispel on my family, friends, and community? A warning to heed with conviction. Last point, a wealth to discover for the future. A wealth to discover for the future. And I want us to picture God. The end of man is to love God and enjoy him forever. God's goal, do you know what God's goal is for your life? God is very jealous of each of you. He loves you to the depth. He wants your heart. That's all he has. You know what I said before? One of the worst things that can happen is to have a cold, cold heart. We have to have a heart that is conditioned by God with his greatness and goodness upon your life. God just loves us so much. He wants to have us and he wants to enjoy us. And not just that, folks, not just in this life, for eternity all the way through. And here we are, not getting it accomplished. And it's for us, our good. I want to close with a little illustration. I don't remember if I ever saw this. I thought I did already, but the wash line, I'm not talking about some people call them an Amish wash line, goes way up and connects at the barn somewhere. I'm talking about the you bury a pole here, a T-pole, and you bury one over here about 20 feet or however far you put them apart, and you put some wash line strands across there. And I liken my life and your life as that wash line. This is point A, where you received your birth. You came to be by God's divine intervention. And you were chosen to be born then. This is your life. And then this wash line, I liken it to this little bug, just a little insect, ladybug I think of maybe. Little cute little guys, they're orange with little black spots. He crawls up that post, that's the beginning of the life. And this little guy, he starts out through this line. That's your life going on. You're alive and you're well. This is your life going. And he goes out there and he stops. Did you ever watch a bug, how they sometimes are moving and they get to a dangerous place and they kind of come to a halt and they look and they don't know which way to go. They almost turn around and go back. But no, that soon they start moving a little more. And I liken that and picture that as God in your life. He is looking down from above, folks. And I believe he has you on the wash line of life. And you are slowly but surely moving on. And you're getting older. And you're gaining wisdom. And you're understanding. God's still looking down. Oh, the little guy's moving along. But yeah, there he wants to turn back again. That is the times when you, in your life, are choosing not to follow God the way he would have you. So God nudges you on by his Spirit as you go. And your whole life, you're moving along this line. But God is enjoying watching you grow in his dimension of service on the earth as you live here. That is what he's doing with that little bug. He's looking down, or that's what he's, when we see this little bug, he's moving across the line. And he's getting over here. And he's soon going to be at the end of life, at the other end on the other pole. Then he'll go down. And he goes and lives his life. I don't know what he does. But folks, we have at our disposal the opportunity and freedom that God gives us to move across that wash line, so to speak. And we find those points where we're not sure. And we might stop too and wonder, how's God want to move in my life now? But you know, can you understand the love of God? How much he desires to have such a relationship that will complete our lives and help us to rest and find ourselves studying to be quiet. God is always there ahead of us because he knows the future. You know, God's not saying, now you go and get going. You got to live your life. But God is out there already ahead of you. Oh, come on, just keep coming. I'm taking you this direction. No, not that way. That's not the right way. I want to take you over here. And you just keep following him in life. And you have a good relationship. You have a good rapport with him. Oh, you faithful child. I just appreciate the way you serve me and you love me. What is your cause today? How do you see that? Because he knows what's the future. He knows what is best. In closing, First Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to go back almost on top of my text. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. You notice what it says. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It doesn't say, faithful is he that calls you and lets you be. But it says, who also will do it. That's an action word, doing and accomplishing the things that God wants you to do. And I believe, dear people, that if we get serious with God and take him for what he has written to us and given us to live by, him being a spirit, we can come in tune with that spirit and we can live a happy Christian experience. And I just want to challenge us as God's children. And I think this is the place to start, right in the beginning where we talked about a warm-up in progress. I believe that we need to. I don't care. You can tell me all you want how busy you are. I am too. And I'm too busy. And when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. Do you think for a moment that I could stand up here and preach in front of you if it doesn't grab my heart? Do you follow me? And I don't care who we are, but the greatest challenge I want to leave with us to start with, you're probably caught up in it right like me, but you must just have a strong conviction that you will sit down and study to be quiet before God and let him minister to you after you have read his word, because from the word, it is God speaking to you for the day. We just take it as his word. It's written, it's on pages, and it's a word. But folks, it's more than that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working through here, speaking into your life. And you need to study to be quiet before God so that he has time to touch your life. He has all the time in the world. Do you for him? Let's kneel to pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, as we beseech your throne of grace this morning, I pray, dear God, open our hearts to your truths and teach us well from your word. Develop deep convictions in our hearts and help us, Lord, to just get quiet before you and let you minister to us after we have read the word, or even other times, Lord, when you just make yourself real to us, that we do stop and listen. Because you know the best way for us to go rather than us ourselves. Oh, Father, help us never to build self-confidence. But let's confidence can be good, Lord, but help us to build steadfastness in our lives and commitment, and Lord, just be open to your Spirit's leading in our lives. So we ask for your guidance. I pray for each one here this morning. God, give us an instilling quietness of peace that you want to provide to us, and that you want to speak and minister to our hearts, and you want to help us and lead us in truth. So teach us, Father, to be careful how we go through life. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I pray your blessing upon each one here this morning. And thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for his glory. Amen.
Take your red hymnal. Turn to song number 441. 441. Under the title there is Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Let's sing all four verses. Take time to be holy, speak up with thy Lord. Abide in him, always, and be on his word. Bring friends of God's children, elders to the Lord be. Forgetting him nothing, his blessing to sing. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Much time spent in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, by him thou shalt hear thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him. Whatever betide, in joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy.
Thank you, Dan, for that song, Take Time to Be Holy. What a fitting song to wrap up this morning. As Levi began talking, as he introduced his subject of study to be quiet, my mind went to, it's not just the younger generation, because it's older ones as well, but it seems there's those who always have to have some noise in their ears. You know, people walking around, they have their earbuds in, they have to have music playing. There's something you see in houses that just the TV's going all the time or whatever it is. There's always noise. There's always something playing, something. Study to be quiet. I think it starts with the quiet. We need to just get quiet and allow God to speak to us. I don't know if God tries to get past all of the noise that we've put into our lives, but I think maybe God gets, I don't know if God gets discouraged, but could he get discouraged with us? He can't speak to us because we got all this noise going all the time. Thank you, Levi, for your sharing this morning. And he talked about the warm-ups. A warm-up time in progress. Yeah, a dried corn, by the way, that is good stuff. I like dried corn, too. And it doesn't get, the more you reheat it, it doesn't lose anything. It stays. It's good stuff. But as we take God's word and as we continue to warm it up, does it get better every time we do it? Talked about, warm-ups, the word, waiting, the warning, and wealth. There is so much there for us. Thank you, Levi. Thank you all for being here. God bless you as you faithfully serve him, as you study to be quiet. Let's stand for benediction. Father God, we thank you so much. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for bringing us together this morning to look into your word and to just take some time to stop, to slow down, and to see what your heart's desire is for us. Father, we recognize that, yes, we are busy people, but God, I believe that you truly want us just to stop. To stop, to be quiet, to allow you to speak into our hearts. Father, help us to take those moments each day. God, we ask that you would now go with us as we part here this morning. Guide us and lead us. Make us a blessing. And Father, if it's your will, bring us again together tonight as we once again look into your word and find challenges for our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the Lord he breaks eternal bright and fair, when the seas on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called